A year after George Floyd's murder, the Senate still hasn't taken up a police reform bill named after him and passed by the House. And Congress is still locked in heated negotiations over an infrastructure bill. Republicans say they'll send a counteroffer to President Biden this week. And there's outrage over comments from Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, again, and the lack of Republican response to them. Lots to talk about with our political strategist. This week we have Jamal Simmons, the Democrat. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And Alice Stewart, the Republican. Hello to you as well.
Hi, Robin. Great to be with you.
Good to hear and see, or well, not see, but be with you. And I have to start with you, Alice, once again. Marjorie Taylor Greene, let me set this up. She compared Americans having to wear face masks to Jews having to wear what she called gold stars. They were actually yellow. And then she went on to say, and getting in boxcars and going to gas chambers. She said, that's what we're facing with Nancy Pelosi's mask requirement in the House. She doubled down on that later. A yellow star actually marked Jews for ridicule and annihilation. A mask is to save lives. It took 5 days and the prodding of a powerful GOP donor for any Republican leader to respond. The donor was Jeff Miller. He wrote of Green, WTF is wrong with you? House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy condemned Green's comparison a few hours later, but just in a written statement, so there's no audio or video to be replayed. Alice, Green is a favorite of Donald Trump. We know that. Are Republicans this afraid of Donald Trump?
No, and Robin, I am glad to see whether it took 5 days is a question that baffles me, but I'm glad to see Republicans across the board giving a full-throated condemnation of these appalling and quite idiotic statements. And she definitely needs to face consequences. And Robin, as you say, face masks are about safety and protection. These yellow stars are about stigmatization and in advance of deportation for killing Jews. And Marjorie Taylor Greene not only needs to educate herself on this with regard to history, but she also needs to take a look back at how horrific these statements are. I have been to the Holocaust Museum in Israel. I have been to Auschwitz concentration camp in Birkenau. I have seen these gas chambers that she talks about with claw marks on the walls, people trying to claw their way out of these gas chambers. That is a far cry from what she experiences in the chambers of the U.S. Capitol. She needs to educate herself, and she owes the Jewish people an apology.
Jamal?
You know, I listen to this, and I think about Congressman McCarthy, who it just seems in general, he's just a weak leader. And I'll associate myself with Alice's remarks. But it seems in general, McCarthy is just a weak leader because, you know, why can't he stand up to members of his caucus who are causing the rest of his caucus so much trouble? And obviously, there's the fear of what happens inside of some of the Republican primaries. But, you know, Nancy Pelosi has a pretty progressive wing. Obviously, they're nothing like Taylor Greene. But she's got a pretty progressive wing in her caucus that she seems to be pretty willing to stand up to and say, hey, we're not going to do that. We're not for defund police. I don't care how many times you say it. It just seems like McCarthy is not, just did not have the fortitude to be the leader and certainly not the Speaker of the U.S. House.
Yeah, Alice, why are you able to say this? But it's not just McCarthy, it's all the top leaders in the GOP who finally made statements after 5 days. Why isn't she, you know, she was stripped of her committee membership, but why can't they ban her?
Well, look, they have done to this point what they can do, as you say, removing her from her committee appointments. And I commend them for finally denouncing her statements. But at the end of the day, it's her people of her district that voted her into that spot. And it's those people that should certainly vote her out. But I think it's quite clear that Republicans have made it abundantly known that this is not about the left attacking her anymore. This is anyone in their right mind who sees how atrocious her comments are. And to be quite honest, what I'm hearing from a lot of Republican House colleagues of hers is that she needs to be more introspective herself and realize, is she herself a Republican? Should she be in this party? And should she find a new home? Because she certainly does not represent the views and values and thoughts of Republicans.
Well, Robin,
Jamal,
one thing is they could they could vote, the Republican caucus could vote her out of the conference. It would take 2/3 of the Republican members to do it. It just doesn't seem like McCarthy has the votes and the support in his caucus to dispel her, to get her out of the Republican conference.
Well, and we just wait to hear what she'll say next. But meantime, Jamal, you mentioned your party. There's some debate within the Democratic Party after the air war between Israel and Hamas. Over 500 former Democratic Party staffers signed a letter urging President Biden to hold Israel accountable. Now, in what we were just discussing, you know, Republican leaders finally condemning Marjorie Greene for her comments about Jews. They also did a little both sides-erisms, you know. They also, in the same tweets, they, in the same breath, practically said, but Democrats are not supporting Israel and they're being anti-Semitic. Is this going to be a burden for Democrats down the road? Will they be seen as anti-Semitic? What would you advise Biden to do on this?
You know, the politics around this are tough because they are also changing. I was watching Rahm Emanuel talk about this weekend. Younger Democrats have only known Netanyahu as the prime minister, and Benjamin Netanyahu has inflamed the partisanship around Israel policy. You know, the truth is, most of my career, everybody was pretty unified around Israel policy. Now, I think about somebody like Amos Oz, the Israeli writer, who said, no, a lot of this is right and right versus wrong and wrong. And I think anybody who tries to come into this situation in the Middle East with a simplistic solution and a simplistic viewpoint doesn't understand the history, the longevity. I've been in Israel. I've seen, you know, some of the impact of this on both sides of what's happening. I felt it. My name is Jamal. So there were people who looked at me with suspicion when I was in Israel because I had a name that is associated with Muslim people. So I've seen this. The reality, though, is the Democrats have got to figure out how do they make sure both peoples, Palestinians and Israel, and Jewish Israelis, because they're Palestinian Israelis, how do they make sure that they both have a right to live, self-determination, to prosper, and to be secure? And I think if Democrats can stand on that footing, which is where Joe Biden has been, I think Democrats will be in the right place. And, you know, younger Democrats are going to have to, I think, spend a little more time paying attention to all the nuance about what's happening in the region. It's not as simplistic as many people make it out to sound.
Okay, if you don't mind, I want to move on to infrastructure. You have one comment, Alice?
Yeah. I just want to, you know, not to play whataboutism with regard to Marjorie Taylor Greene and Dem support for Israel, but they're completely different. But I do think it's important across the board for America to allow Israel to protect themselves. We need to stand by Israel, our greatest ally in the Middle East. And that's the important takeaway from this.
We also need to keep Palestinian babies from being killed. And I think we've got to make sure that the children on both sides of that wall are going to be safe and secure. And I think that's what most Democrats want, is to make sure we're standing up for the children on both sides of the wall that divides Palestine from Israel.
Okay. Agreed. Into infrastructure here in the U.S. President Biden initially proposed $2.3 trillion. He's brought that down to $1.7 to, you know, try to appease Republicans. Their counteroffer is expected to be much smaller, maybe about $1 trillion, which I can't believe I'm saying that's small. but Alice, do you think that, you know, Americans say they want this? Would you say to Republicans, hey, you got to get on board. You have to have a piece of this.
I say to both Republicans and Democrats in Washington, you both need to get on board and find a number that is palatable on both sides. I'm thrilled. We start at $2.3 trillion. Now we're kind of halfway to that point. I think it's important to have these important conversations, see what needs to stay, what needs to go. But most importantly, how are we going to pay this without it impacting future generations? But I'll tell you what, I'm encouraged that there is at least some bipartisan conversation, and I'm optimistic that they'll have progress on this.
Jamal, do you think Democrats should go it alone, as some are pushing Biden to do, and, you know, own the joy at maybe all the jobs and all the infrastructure that gets built, but maybe own the bill too?
I was listening to Chris Coons on NPR today, and he seemed to be very forwardly leaning into trying to get a bipartisan deal done. You know, there's some practical things here, like Joe Manchin from West Virginia, who's got to be willing to go along with a strategy that only has Democratic votes. So a bipartisan deal is probably the best deal for the country because you need everybody bought into it. It needs longevity. But if the bipartisan deal does not happen, Democrats have to go it alone, because the only way I think that we stave off the barbarians of the gate who came into the Congress on January 6th, the only way we stave off that kind of future activity is to show people that the government can actually deliver for real people in the United States.
Okay, we got just a minute here, so I'm going to ask for 30 seconds from each. Alice, House Republicans refused to back an investigation into the Capitol insurrection. Without an investigation into what they called, race violence or violence at racial justice protests, mistake?
Yes. Look, political violence of all stripes is certainly something we need to get to the bottom of, but that is not the same as an insurrection at the U.S. Capitol threatening our elected officials and an affront to our election process. That does need to be fully investigated and full transparency.
Jamal, a year after George Floyd's murder, your thoughts, 30 seconds.
I think that we've made a lot of progress, but not as much as we think. $50 billion has been pledged, and only $250 million has been expended so far. We got a lot of work to do to deal with systemic racism.
Jamal Simmons, the Democratic strategist, Alice Stewart, the Republican. Thank you both.
Thank you, Robin. You.